help us teach also something.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. أسأل الله تعالى أن يرزقنا جميعا النية الخالصة. كنا بدأنا في الحصة الماضية الكلام عن معاصي الرجل, نكمل من حيث وصلنا. We started in the past session talking about the sins of the foot. Let's continue from where we stopped. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: وإباق العبد والزوجة ومن عليه حق عما يلزمه من قصاص أو دين أو نفقة أو بر والديه أو تربية الأطفال. The author said, the inexcusable escaping of the slave, the wife, or the one who owes a right to others from what is incumbent upon one, be it punishment, debt, obligatory spending, obligatory kindness to the parents, or raising the children. من جملة المعاصي, معاصي الرجل, إباق العبد, هرب المملوك ذكرا كان أو أنثى من سيده. Among the sins of the foot is for a slave to escape from his owner, whether the slave is a male or a female. وكذلك هرب الزوجة من بيت زوجها. Likewise, for the wife to escape from her husband's house. وكلا الأمرين من الكبائر. Both matters are among the enormous sins. أي إذا كان ذلك من غير عذر, that is, if this occurs without an excuse. كذلك الهرب, إذا هرب الشخص من أداء الحق الذي يلزمه. Likewise, if one escapes from fulfilling the right that he has to fulfill, what's incumbent upon him. كما لو لزمه قصاص, قتل إنسانا فلزمه أن يقتل فهرب حتى لا يقام عليه القصاص, عليه إثم بهربه. هذه معصية من معاصي الرجل. For example, if someone kills a person, his punishment is to be killed. He runs away, so he wouldn't be killed. In this case, he would be committing a sin among the sins of the foot. أو هرب من أداء النفقة الواجبة للزوجة. Or if someone escapes, so he would not pay, he would not support his wife, the obligatory support. أو من أداء النفقة الواجبة للأطفال. Or he escapes so he wouldn't support his children, the obligatory support. أو من النفقة الواجبة على الوالدين. Or he escapes so he does not support his parents, the obligatory support. كل ما كان من نحو ذلك، كل ما كان مشابها لذلك هربا من أداء حق واجب عليه فهو من معاصي الرجل. Everything which is similar to that, that is when one escapes so one does not fulfill what is obligatory upon him, is among the sins of the foot. وتضييع الإنسان، عدم الإنفاق على من يجب عليك أن تنفق عليه، هذا من كبائر الذنوب. To neglect supporting those whom you are obligated to support is an enormous sin. دل على ذلك حديث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: كفى بالمرء إثما أن يضيع من يعول، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام، يعني يكفيه ذنبا أن لا ينفق على من يجب عليه الإنفاق عليهم. It is narrated from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that he said: كفى بالمرء إثما أن يضيع من يعول، which means it is enough as a sin for someone to neglect supporting the one whom he is obligated to support. رواه أبو داود وغيره. أبو داود and others narrated this hadith. So this shows that this is an enormous sin. To do that is an enormous sin. قال المؤلف: والتبختر في المشي. The author said, to walk arrogantly with a strutting gait. أظن كلكم يعرف مشية الكبر، التبختر في المشي. هذه المشية حرام لما تتضمنه من الكبر. I think every one of you knows what does that mean. Some people, they walk in an arrogant way. Walking in this way is prohibited because it includes showing off. وكنا تكلمنا عن هذا الأمر. We talked before about this issue, this matter. وذكرنا حديث الذي اختال، كان يمشي متكبرا ناظرا في، يعني كان يمشي مشية المتكبرين، فخسفت به الأرض، بلعته الأرض. If you remember, we talked about the one who used to walk in that way, and he was swallowed by the earth, and he keeps going down until the day of judgment. وجاء في الحديث: من تعظم في نفسه أو اختال في مشيته لقي الله وهو عليه غضبان. In the hadith, رواه البيهقي هذا الحديث. In the hadith narrated by البيهقي, it is mentioned that the one who يتكبر. The one who acts in an arrogant way or walks in that way, deserves after he dies the punishment of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the hereafter, on the day of judgment, he deserves the punishment of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. بعض الناس لا يعلمون أولادهم التواضع بل يعلمونهم عكس ذلك. Some people do not teach their children to be humble. Rather, they teach them to act in an opposite way. بعض الناس يعلم ولده هكذا: إن شتمك أحد لا تسكت له، إن خالف رأيك رأي أحد لا شو بيقولوا إن خالف رأيك رأي أحد تمسك برأيك، لا تبالي برأي غيرك، لا تلتفت إلى رأي غيرك. إذا آذاك واحد فآذه، لا تخفض جناحك لغيرك. أنت رجل كما أنهم هم رجال إن كان رجلا، أنت لك رأيك كما أن لهم آراؤهم. أنت فيك من الخصال إلى حد هنا، أنت فيك من الخصال ما ليس في غيرك. نحن تعبنا عليك ما لم يتعب غيرنا. أنت عندك ما ليس عند غيرك. أما النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فقال: وإن عيرك أحد بما ليس فيك فلا تعيره بما تعلم فيه. أما سيدنا لقمان فقال لولده: ولا تمشي في الأرض فرحا مرحا إنك لن تخرق الأرض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولا. Some people, they teach their children, they tell their children, do not be a follower of others, of anyone else. You have your opinion, just follow up your opinion. Don't listen to what other people say. We gave you what no parent, we did with you, we gave you what no parent, no other parent gave to his child or their children. If anyone harms you, harm him. If anyone curses you, curse him. Don't let people feel that you are weak, etc. Well, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, you have criteria that no one else nowadays has. Be aware of your... be aware of your high status, etc. Well, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that if someone curses you with while lying, don't degrade him with something that you know that really he is attributed with. Don't reply back in that way. Luqman alayhi salam advised his son and said, don't walk in an arrogant way. Subhanallah. Someone whom Sheikh Abdullah knew back in his country, in Ethiopia. One time he wore a new dress. At the time, this was the fashion. It was a dress made in Egypt with large sleeves. And this man was from a known family, a wealthy one also. His sheikh saw him wearing this dress. It seems he was happy with it. So his sheikh called him and told him to cut off the sleeves. He did that. He didn't say no. Then he told him, go and get the water from the well or the spring, I don't know. So he went, he carried the water and brought it back. And it wasn't the habit of people of his status, if you want, to do that. So he carried the water and brought it back, and then carried the water again and brought it back with his sleeves cut off. Some people looked at him. They knew him in the town. They knew who was this man. And they started to think, well, is he okay? Did anything happen with his... Is his mind okay? Oh, he's not. Sheikh said, this person was a clever person. He knew that his sheikh was advising him with what's better for him. Sheikh said, I believe... He said later he became a very pious person. I believe that he became a wali. There is a difference between one way to raise someone and one way to act and another way. Ways differ and the results differ. قال المؤلف: وتخطي الرقاب إلا لفرجة. The author said to step over the shoulders of people sitting down except for the purpose of filling a gap. يعني إذا كان الناس جالسين في المسجد فصار إنسان يتخطى رقابهم بحيث آذاهم، يصيب هذا في على أذنه، وهذا على رقبته، وهذا على كتفه، وهذا على رأسه، هذا عليه إثم لأجل إيذاء الناس، لأجل أنه آذى الناس. This means if the people are sitting in the masjid and someone starts to step over them, over the shoulders, in a way that he harmed them. He would hit one person on his head, the other one on his ear, the third one on his neck, etc. If he does that, then he is sinful because he is hurting the people. إن لم يؤذي أحدا فيكره له فعل ذلك ولا يحرم. Now if he does not hurt anyone, it is disliked for him to do that. It is not haram, but it is disliked. مرة جاء رجل يتخطى الناس، يتخطى الرقاب، والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يخطب يوم الجمعة. One day a man was doing that when the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was giving the speech on the day of الجمعة. فقال له النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: اجلس فقد آذيت. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام told him: sit down where you are, sit down because you are harming the people, you are harming others. وهذا هو معنى الحديث: من تخطى رقاب المسلمين فقد اتخذ جسرا إلى جهنم. And this is what the hadith, what is meant by the hadith that says من تخطى رقاب المسلمين فقد اتخذ جسرا إلى جهنم, which means the one who steps over the shoulders of the Muslims is as if he's crossing a bridge leading to hellfire. يعني هذا في الحال التي يؤذي الجالسين. So this hadith pertains to the case when the one who does that hurts the people who are sitting. وأما إن كان هناك فرجة, مكان ليس فيه, تركوه فارغا فتخطى الرقاب ليسدها, فذلك جائز. Now, if there is a space that they left empty, so the person crossed over them, over their shoulders, to sit in that empty place, in this case, what he does is not dispraised. ليس معنى ذلك أن يؤذيهم, of course. It does not mean that while doing that he hurts them. No. قال المؤلف: والمرور بين يدي المصلي إذا كملت شروط السترة. The author said to pass in front of the person performing prayer when the conditions of the barrier placed in front of the prayer place are fulfilled. إذا كان الشخص يصلي صلاة صحيحة على حسب المذهب الذي يتبعه وكان وضع سترة أمامه شيئا مرتفعا ثلثي ذراع فأكثر ويبعد عنه ثلاثة أذرع فأقل وضع سترة أمامه أو صلى أمام حائط أو ما شابه قريبا من حائط أو ما شابه فليس لك أن تمر بين يديه بينه وبين السترة أو بينه وبين الحائط. If someone is praying a valid prayer according to the school that one follows, he follows the Shafi'i school, according to the Shafi'i school, he is praying a valid prayer. And he was praying, and he is praying close to a wall, for example. Or he put a barrier in front of him, which is two-thirds of a cubit as height, and three cubits or less away from him. In this case, it is haram for you to pass between him and the barrier, or between him and the wall. جاء في الحديث أن الشخص لو انتظر 40 سنة خير له من أن يفعل ذلك أن يمر بينه وبين السترة. It is narrated in the hadith that if one waits for 40 years, it is better for him than to cross between the one who's praying and this barrier. إذا كان الشخص يصلي على الحال التي ذكرناها قريبا من حائط أو عمود أو وضع سترة على الوجه الذي شرحناه فأراد شخص أن يمر بين يديه بينه وبين السترة فله أن يمنعه. If someone was praying while the conditions of sutra, while the barrier is close to him, as we explained, or close to a wall, to a pillar or the like, to a tree, and someone wants to pass between him and this barrier, in this case, the one who's praying is entitled to prevent him. إن حاول أن يمر يمنعه. If he tries to pass again, he stops him. حتى جاء في الحديث أن هذا الذي يريد أن يمر إن ألح جاء في الحديث تشبيهه بالشيطان. Even the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام drew similarity between the one who tries repeatedly to pass in front of the one who's praying, between the one who's praying and the sutra, the barrier. The Prophet drew similarity between him and devil. أما إن لم يكن سترة, now in the case where there is no barrier, أو كانت السترة أبعد من ثلاثة أذرع, or the barrier is farther than 3 cubits, أو كانت السترة أبعد من ثلاثة أذرع, ففي هذه الحال إن مر أمامه لم يحرم. In this case, if one crosses in front of him, it would not be prohibited. وليس له أن يمنعه, and he is not entitled to stop him from crossing. حتى لو مر قريبا منه بذراع, even if he passes close to him, 1 cubit away from him, it is permissible. لأنه هو قصر ما وضع السترة, because the one praying fell short, he did not put a barrier. Like if you are praying in the musalla here and you do not pray close to the wall, you choose to pray here in the middle of the musalla, then if someone wants to pass in front of you, it is permissible for him. You fell short. You didn't get close to the wall, so you don't stop him if he wants to pass. Even if he passes close to you. In jama'a, no, you don't put sutra in jama'a because it's one line after another. Okay. After the group left, you are catching up the rak'ah. MashaAllah. I will ask about this, inshaAllah. What? Why does he do that? Just to walk, or there is a space which is not filled and he wants to stand there? If he wants to fill the space, he's not sinful. قال المؤلف ومد الرجل إلى المصحف إذا كان غير مرتفع. The author said to extend the leg towards the book of the Quran if it is not in a raised location. من محرمات الرجل مدها إلى المصحف إذا كان المصحف غير بعيد وليس مرتفعا. Among the sins of the foot is to extend one's leg towards al-mushaf, the book of al-Quran, if it is not away from one's leg and it is not on a raised place. So it's on the same level of the extended leg. لأن هذا فيه إهانة للمصحف. Because this is a lack of respect towards al-mushaf. كما أنه يحرم حمله بغير وضوء يحرم مد الرجل إليه. As it is haram to carry al-mushaf without wudu, it is haram to extend one's leg towards it. كذلك يحرم مسه بنجاسة. إذا كان على العضو نجاسة، على اليد نجاسة، يحرم وضع هذه اليد على المصحف مسته بهذه النجاسة ولو كانت جافة. If someone has a najas filth on one's hand, it is not permissible to hold al-mushaf with this hand. يعني while the najas filthy part touches al-mushaf, even if this najasa is dried, is a dry one. ولا شك أنه يحرم كتابة المصحف بالنجاسة. Of course, it is prohibited to write the verses of Al-Quran with نجاسة. وما ذكر في بعض الكتب من أنه إذا مرض الإنسان يكتب الفاتحة بالبول بنية الاستشفاء كفر. And what is mentioned in some books that if one gets sick, then one would write al-Fatiha with urine with the intention of being cured. Yeah, I know you are looking like, would anyone say that? Yes, some people said it. Is blasphemy. This is kufr. في بعض في كتاب مشهور من كتب الحنفية المتأخرين ينقل هذا عن كتاب آخر. In a famous book among the books of the later Hanafis, he copies this from another book. He says, in the book so and so, the author said that if you are sick, you write al-Fatiha with urine, with the intent to be cured. Without commenting on that, he copies it without commenting. الذي يعتقد أن هذا جائز يكفر. The one who claims that this is permissible blasphemes. ولعله دس على هذا المؤلف. Maybe this person did not put this statement in his book. Maybe someone else added it to the book. لأنه في بعض كتبه الأخرى يقول كتابة القرآن بالدم حرام ولو لأجل التداوي، ينقل عن بعض مشايخه ذلك. Because in another book of his, he copies from one of his sheikhs that it is prohibited to write a verse of Al-Quran with blood to get cured. هناك عادة منتشرة في بعض البلاد، إذا أصاب إنسانا الرعاف صار الدم ينزل من أنفه، يكتبون بالدم شيئا من القرآن على جبهته، يقولون يتوقف الدم عند ذلك. وحرام هذا أيضا، لا يجوز. There is a habit in some places, in some areas, if one starts bleeding from his nose, they write on his forehead something from Al-Quran with the blood coming out from the nose. This is also prohibited haram. It's not permissible. قال المؤلف وكل مشي إلى محرم وتخلف عن واجب. The author said every walking towards committing an unlawful matter, every walking towards abandoning an obligation. يعني كما ذكرنا قبل، كل مشي إلى ما حرم الله تعالى فهو حرام. As we mentioned before, the steps that one takes to do something in unlawful, haram, are prohibited. كذلك أن يتخلف أن يقعد عن أداء الواجب حرام. Likewise, to neglect, do the obligatory matter is prohibited also. فإذا مشى مشيا يحصل به التخلف عن واجب يكون مشيه هذا محرما. So if someone walks in a way that by this walking he would be leaving out fulfilling an obligation upon him, this walking would be prohibited also. مثلا واحد يبعد بيته عن المسجد 5 دقائق. Like if someone is close to the masjid, his house is close to the masjid, his home is close to the masjid, 5 minutes walking from the masjid. ثم يوم الجمعة قبل الصلاة بوقت قليل، بدل أن يذهب إلى المسجد يذهب في الاتجاه المعاكس إلى مسافة بعيدة لأمر ما، شو بعرفني، شيء ليس من غير عذر، بحيث يعلم أنه لا يعود يلحق إيش الجمعة بفعله هذا. في هذه الحال مشيه هذا فيه معصية. If on Friday this man, few minutes before the time of prayer of Al-Jumu'ah, he goes in the opposite direction of the masjid in a way that he knows by doing that he is not going to be able to catch Al-Jumu'ah, he will miss the prayer of Jumu'ah. Without an excuse he does that. So doing that, taking these steps, would be prohibited for him. الله. إلى هنا أحد عنده استفهام عن شيء ما فهمه مما مر؟ Is there anything that you did not understand from about what you did not understand? تفضل ربيع. في سبب عم قول شيء ما فهمته. ان شاء الله الا بدكم تمشوا مثل ما بدكم. شو بدي اعمل؟ يا لا، ما انت بتحاول وانا بحاول، بنشوف بعدين كيف بتمشي الامور. نعم. عند فقد غيرها، إذا كان الشخص إذا ما إن لم يكن هناك حائط يقف إليه وليس عنده شيء يضعه، ما كان عنده شيء يضعه أمامه مرتفع 3/4 إلى آخره، يعني عند فقد هذه الأشياء عند ذلك تعتبر سترة. If there is no wall to stand close to it, no tree, no pillar, if one does not have anything to put that has a height of 2/3 of zira' or more, etc., then if one puts this rug, this praying prayer rug, then this would be considered in that case like a burial. So one would not pass over this prayer rug. I'm talking about the standard prayer rug, not a prayer rug that is like 10 yards of length, of course. Naam Haj. Yusan. Naam. It is sunnah to have something in front of you. Naam Muhammad. هلا لا نخلص ابو حميد بس حتى نخلص لانه بعد ما خلصنا we are not yet at the part of taking the questions. Just before I move to the sins of the body, I want to be sure that what I said was clear. You will have the chance to ask. لو كانت جافة حكمية وغير حكمية حاج كله حرام. نعم. There are details pertaining supporting the parents. Inshallah we'll get to them. Inshallah. كذلك مس أوراق المصحف بالريق. بعض الناس يضعون الريق على أصابعه على أصابعهم ويمسون أوراق المصحف. إذا كان شيئا يجتمع على الإصبع حرام هذا. أما إذا كان مجرد بللا لا مجرد بلل لا يحصل منه شيء على ورق المصحف عند مسه فهذا ليس حراما. So if someone was flipping the papers of Al-Mus'haf with after putting his some saliva, his finger in his mouth, some saliva comes on the finger. If this is a tangible thing, so when he touches the paper of Al-Mus'haf, some of the saliva would stain al-mushaf, then this is haram. If this is not the case, so he puts his finger here, and then when he touches al-mushaf, nothing actually, it's not a tangible saliva that stains al-mushaf, it is not haram in this case. Let's keep going, and then you'll ask, inshallah. طيب ومن معاصي البدن عقوق الوالدين. The author said now الآن نتكلم عن معاصي البدن. Now we are talking about the sins of the body. Among the sins of the body are to harm one's parents severely. العقوق. الآن كلامنا عن معاصي البدن التي أي المعاصي التي لا تتعلق بجارحة من جوارح البدن على الخصوص. Now we are talking about the sins of the body, that is about sins that are not in relation specifically, يعني they are not in relation to a specific organ among the organs of the body. منها عقوق الوالدين. One of that is to harm one's parents severely. هذا العقوق قد يحصل باللسان وقد يحصل بغير ذلك. لا يلزم جارحة بعينها. This type of harming the parents might occur with the tongue or with other than that. So it does not take place always with the same organ. It is not related always to one specific organ. لذلك هو معدود مع معاصي البدن. This is why they count it among the sins of the body. فمنها كما قلنا أن يعق الإنسان والديه أو أحدهما. If one harms severely one of his or her parents or both of them, then this is an enormous sin. وعندما نقول الوالد نعني بذلك الأب والأم والجد والجدة يعني ولو على الجد. When we are saying the parent, we mean by that the father, the mother, the grandfather and the grandmother, and so on, the great grandfather, and so on. فلو آذى جده إيذاء جده أبا أبيه إيذاء شديدا مع كون أبيه حيا فهذا من جملة العقوق. So if one harms severely his grandfather, the father of his father, although his father is still alive, this is also عقوق. وتعريف العقوق ما يتأذى به الوالدان أو أحدهما تأذيا ليس بالهين, ليس أذى خفيفا. The definition of عقوق, when we said this is a sin, what's the definition of it? Is to harm both parents or one of them in a way which is not light, that is in a severe way. في عرف الناس لا يعد هذا الأذى هينا. That is, in the norm of the people, this is not considered slight thing. And عندما نقول العرف يعني في عرف الناس الأفاضل ليس في عرف الأخابث. When we say always, when we say in the norm, we mean the norm of the good people, not the norm of the, what do you want to call them? Not the norm of the wicked people. وبعض العلماء فصل أكثر. Some scholars gave more explanation. واحد قال إذا عمل الإنسان شيئا مع والديه, لو عمله مع غير والديه لكان معصية صغيرة, إن عمله مع الوالد يكون كبيرة. إن آذى غير الوالد إيذاء يعد صغيرة, إن عمل هذا الإيذاء مع الوالد يكون كبيرة. One scholar said, if one harms the parent with a type of harm which that if it is done with other than the parent, would be a small sin. If this same harm is done to one of the parents, that would be an enormous sin. So if someone harms other than the parent with something which is considered a small sin, if this person does the same harm to one of his parents, this would be considered an enormous sin. يعني هذا مثال أو هذا نوع من أنواع الإيذاء التي تعد من العقوق. This is one type of harming which is considered an enormous sin when done to the parents. إذا منع الوالد ولده من شيء لأن الولد لو فعل هذا الشيء يحصل للوالد من الناس تأذي كثير. إن لم يرضى الولد ففعله هذا من العقوق. If the parent asks the son or the daughter not to do something, because if the son or the daughter does this, then people are going to harm the parent. They are going to talk about the parent in a harmful way, really harmful way. They will cause, he will be, the parent, he or she will be hurt severely. In this case, if the son or the daughter does not listen to the parent and they do it, then this is haram, this is uquq, this is an enormous sin. ومن شدة ذنب العقوق النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أخبرنا أن الذي يعق والديه لا يدخل الجنة مع الأولين. Because doing that to the parents is an enormous sin. It is so severe to a point that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام told us that the one who harms severely his or her parents will not enter paradise with the first batches. That is, deserves the torture in hellfire. قال ثلاثة لا يدخلون الجنة العاق لوالديه والديوث ورجلة النساء. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said ثلاثة لا يدخلون الجنة العاق لوالديه والديوث ورجلة النساء. رواه ابن حبان. Ibn Hibban narrated that three people from the Prophet that he said this hadith, which means three people are not going to enter paradise, that is with the first batches. The one who hurts severely his or her parents. The one who brings people to commit zina with his wife or the like. And the woman that imitates the men. Those three sins are very enormous sins. معناه من مات من هؤلاء الثلاثة قبل التوبة لا يدخل الجنة مع الأولين. This hadith means that those who die among those three before repenting will not enter paradise with the first batches. MashaAllah. يعني لا ما سمع انه هيك لا حش ما سمع هيك حيث العموم اكثر من هيك ما سمع. قال المؤلف: والفرار من الزحف وهو ان يفر من بين المقاتلين في سبيل الله بعد حضور موضع المعركه. The author said to flee the battlefield, which is to run away from the battle scene after having entered into it. يعني إذا كان هذا القتال مأمورا به، ليس إذا كان هذا القتال معصية. That is, if it is, if this fighting is, how do I say it? Is in place, not if it is a sinful fighting, of course. فإذا حضر الشخص المعركة أرض المعركة, if one is there in the battle scene, وكان عدد المقاتلين النصف من عدد العدو أو أكثر, وكان عدد المقاتلين أكثر من النصف, ها ضعف أو أكثر, إذا كان عدد إذا كان عدد المقاتلين نصف عدد العدو أو أقل, ففي هذه الحال إذا كان عدد المقاتلين أكثر من نصف عدد العدو, في هذه الحال يحرم عليهم الفرار من أرض المعركة. So if one attends the battle scene, and if the numbers of the fighters are, of the soldiers, the fighters, is more than half of the number of the enemies, then it is prohibited for them to run away, to leave out the scene of the battle. إلا إذا ترك أرض المعركة متحرفا لقتال أو متحيزا لفئة. إلا إذا ترك أرض المعركة لأجل خطة بالقتال تقتضي ذلك, أو لأجل أن ينضم إلى مقاتلين آخرين يتقوى بهم. Except if one leaves out the battle scene out of a plan that they had, or to go to join other ones to get stronger by joining them. وأما إذا كان عدد العدو أكثر من ضعف عدد المسلمين. Now if the number of the enemies are more than the double of the number of the Muslims. عند ذلك يجوز للمقاتل أن يترك أرض المعركة. In this case, it is permissible to leave out the scene of the battle. فإن كان عدد العدو ضعف عدد المسلمين لم يجوز ذلك. If the number of the enemies is double of the number of the Muslims, it is not permissible to leave the scene of the battlefield. خلاصة الكلام أن العدو إذا كان أكثر من ضعف المسلمين يجوز أكثر من ضعف المسلمين يجوز للمقاتل أن يترك أرض المعركة. In brief, if the number of the enemies is more than the double of the number of the Muslims, it is permissible to leave out the scene of the battlefield. إن لم يكن ذلك ولم يكن الشخص متحرفا لقتال أو متحيزا إلى فئة فترك أرض المعركة في هذه الحال من كبائر الذنوب. If this is not the case, leaving out the battlefield without one of the two aforementioned reasons, that is, not to fulfill a plan of fight and not with the purpose to join other people to get stronger, in this case, this would be an enormous sin. وكما قلنا هذا حيث يكون القتال في محله ليس حيث يكون محرما. And as we said, this is when fighting is in place, not when it is prohibited. فإن خاف المسلمون الهلاك لو قاتلوا العدو فلا بأس من بمصالحتهم. If the Muslims fear that they are going to be killed, all of them, if they fight the enemy, so there is no benefit in fighting, then there is no harm on their part if they make a treaty with their enemies. حتى إنه في الماضي في بعض النواحي في بعض الأحيان كان المسلمون يدفعون مالا كل سنة للكفار حتى يتجنبوا أن يؤذوا الناس حيث لا يستطيعون دفع الأذى عنهم. Even in the past, some Muslim rulers used to pay money on a regular basis to some of their enemies to avoid that those enemies hurt the Muslims, because they did not have the capability of protecting those Muslims. So for them to protect them, they used to pay money on a regular basis to those people, those enemies. ناحية يقال لها خوارزم, an area called Khwarizm. Close to it, at the time, where tyrants, there was a tyrant ruling the area close to it, and he used always to attack the Muslims who lived in that area. The ruler of that area, the Muslim ruler, did not have enough forces to protect that area all the time. So he couldn't put an army there to protect that area. from to protect the civilians from the attack of that tyrant. So he used to pay on a regular basis money and used to give gifts to this tyrant and to few other ones like him close to the borders. One year, for a reason, it's not known clearly why, did that tyrant find that the gifts given to him were little, the amount of money was little, he wasn't pleased with it, or the money that was given to other rulers like him was more than the money given to him. For a reason, he started to attack the civilians in the different towns in that area. When he attacked one town, the people of that town, they gathered and they defended themselves. He tricked them and he attracted them to leave out the town and go out to the open area through a trick. They followed him. When they were away from the town, he got back on them and he surrounded them. And a fight took place the whole day. Near the end of the day, the ruler, the Muslim ruler of the area, got the news. He rushed. When he arrived there with his army, almost all of them were either killed or injured. That day, 400 among them were killed. 400 people among the inhabitants of that town were killed. Among them was a young man. He was a carpenter. He was a pious person. He used to work every day and get enough money to feed his family for that day. So day by day he used to go. He was among those who were killed. They were brought to the town, back to the town, and his wife was a young woman. So when she knew about his death, she was, of course, very sad. This is her husband and the father of her children. But despite her situation, when the time of prayer got in, she started praying. She got to the prayer. She was a pious woman also. After praying, she was making sujood, and out of her tired, she slept while making a sujood. She saw a dream during that. She saw herself in a vast area, and close to it there was a nice green area, and she saw there the people who were killed in that battle, the 400 people sitting in circles eating. She started looking for her husband among them. He saw her. So he called her. Her name was Rahma, Rahma bint Ibrahim. So he called her. She arrived. She came to him. He asked his friends, they were eating together. He asked them, "Do you permit me to give her one bite? This poor woman did not eat since the morning. She did not eat anything. So they told him to do that. She said, he gave me one bite. I know it's bread, but it does not taste like bread, like the usual bread. It is it was sweeter than honey and more white than the snow. So she took one bite of that food. She woke up. So after she woke up, she did not feel any hunger. And then after that, she spent many years, more than 20 years, more, without eating or drinking. She never felt the need to eat or drink. And she became famous because of that in the area. Everyone knew her story. Because whenever they would bring her the food close to her, she would feel bothered. Like when you smell something that you don't like, how do you feel? She would feel bothered because of that. Some rulers, they jailed her for a period of time, and they put some people to watch her all the time to be sure about her story. She didn't eat, she didn't drink. Several people of knowledge, they traveled to meet her, to hear her story. One of them said, I went to meet her, and I asked I had a female with me, one of his relatives. I asked her to check on her, see her abdomen. And she, when she checked, because that woman said, my belly is thick to my back, because she didn't eat anything since long time ago. And she put here cotton and things and wrapped them so to protect her back. So that woman checked and she told him, she's truthful. This is the truth. Her belly is thick to her back. MashaAllah. So anyway, this proves that it's not the food that creates the fullness. Allah is the one who creates that. Food is only a mean. Just as it's not the fire that creates burning. Fire is only a reason. Allah is the one who creates that. And this is what used to happen. It is permissible in such case to pay money to your enemy to protect yourself, of course. طيب خلونا نقف هنا. Let us stop here for now. Allah yubarik fikum. If you want, you can ask later because we want to show ya am walid. Tfaddali. يجوز ألف مقابل 2500 يجوز، ألف مقابل 2000 لا يجوز. وفيك 1500 مقابل 2000 لا يجوز. بارك الله فيكم. نهلل. لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I want to